Okay. Well, welcome everyone to the Dignity for All Poverty Policy Series webinar. We are very excited to be producing these webinars. For those who aren't familiar at all with the Dignity for All campaign, it's a campaign that is co-led by two organizations, Canada Without Poverty and Citizens for Public Justice. I myself am Michelle Bitt. I'm with Canada Without Poverty, and I'm joined also today by Darlene O'Leary, who's with Citizens for Public Justice.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Darlene. Some of you might know Darlene and myself quite well within the Dignity for All campaign. You might also be aware of our big national campaign that we do every October for the International Day for the Eradication of Poverty, which is called the Chew on This campaign, where folks take to the streets across the country to call for a human rights-based national anti-poverty plan. So we're gearing up for Chew on This, and we are also gearing up, of course, for the election that's about to happen. And as we get ready for the election, we're taking an opportunity to ask our partners, what are the policy pieces that folks across the country should be asking candidates about? What are the critical policies that are connected to the Canadian Poverty Reduction Strategy that we want to see pushed forward? So that has led us to our first of six webinars. These will be very brief webinars, just 30 minutes. And throughout the summer, we will be hosting five other sessions where we'll be talking about, of course, in the session, child care. We'll also be talking about health, income support, jobs and employment, food insecurity, as well as housing and homelessness. So without further ado, I'm going to jump us immediately into our first session. I am so happy to say that we are joined by two spectacular panelists today who have really been pushing for universal child care for a very long time. So I'm pleased to say that we're joined today by Deanna Sarosi, who's with Oxfam Canada, and Morna Ballantyne, who's with Child Care Now. So for those who aren't familiar with Deanna, Deanna is the manager of Oxfam's Women's Rights Policy and Advocacy Team. She is a long-standing feminist advocate with over 15 years of experience working with non-governmental organizations in Canada and throughout Southeast Asia. At Oxfam Canada, she is advancing policy files related to economic inequality, gender budgeting, humanitarian assistance, peace and security, aid and foreign policy, and women's leadership, all with an emphasis on feminist approaches, targeting the Canadian government and the multilateral fora. She is an ongoing analyst and commentator on Canada's federal budget. Deanna previously worked for the Noble Women's Initiative and grassroots organizations throughout Southeast Asia. She's lived 5 years in Thailand and, in fact, founded an NGO working to protect human rights defenders. She is also a steering committee and member of the Women, Peace and Security Network of Canada. So welcome, Deanna. I'm so pleased to have you join today. I think we're very eager to hear what you have to tell us about. I'm also going to take this opportunity to introduce Morna Ballantyne. For those who have been following the child care movement, Morna perhaps needs no introduction, but for those who are not familiar, Morna is the Executive Director of Child Care Now, Canada's national child care advocacy organization. She started advocating for more high-quality and affordable licensed child care more than 30 years ago when she was the mother of two young children. Now a grandmother of a toddler, she continues to work with others to press all levels of government to build a publicly managed child care system for the benefit of children, parents, and those who work in child care, a system that will contribute to more equitable economic growth. Morna was recently appointed to serve on the government's expert panel on early learning and child care. So, without further ado, I will pass on speaking to Deanna, and I'll just note that for those of you who have questions, please feel free to type them in the slide panel. And at the end of this session, once Deanna and Morna have had a chance to walk us through their presentations, we'll have a chance to address some of those questions. So without further ado, Deanna, would you like to take it away?
Hey, thank you so much to both you, Michelle, and Darlene for organizing this webinar on a topic that I have been nowhere near as long involved as Mona. In comparison to Mona, it feels just like a week probably. However, it's a topic I care a lot about, and I had the pleasure on working with Mona very closely over the last year. I have learned so much from her, and so it's really nice to be able to speak about this topic today. And so welcome everyone, and let me give you a bit of an introduction on what Oxfam Canada has been working on this past year, very closely with a national coalition of organizations, including Child Care Now, to bring a sort of united front to this very important policy issue, and really trying to get some momentum around this, as we feel that there has been very little movement in this area over the last 4 years under the Liberal government. While there has been some progress, so there have been announcements in the federal budget that for investments in the childcare sector, I believe it was around $7.5 billion over 11 years. And of course, the government also has in place the multilateral framework on early learning and childcare, with bilateral agreements in place with all provinces. We're all very excited about the initiatives that the government has taken, but they're not really taking us far enough to make childcare affordable and accessible and of quality for every Canadian family. And so we all collectively decided to come together to give this an additional push and to make sure that childcare is front and center in the elections coming up. So in May, we had a big campaign moment, a day of action. At that time, we published a report that basically tried to bring together all the different pieces of evidence that exists out there of why Canada needs a public childcare system, why it's good policy, by its good for Canada, and really the smartest investment that Canada can make, the government can make, to make the country more inclusive, more equal, and more prosperous. And coupled with that, we organized an event just off the hill that brought together activists from the sector, childcare workers, parents, as well as childcare advocates, and then government officials, elected officials, to speak about the importance of this topic, and to really launch the solution that we perceive moving forward. And so I'll let Mona talk to the solution, which is the Affordable Childcare for All plan. But I thought I can speak a little bit to the report that we published that lays out the arguments and evidence of why public childcare really makes sense. So the first good reason is, of course, it's really good for gender equality. We all know that the gender wage gap has been persistent and very slow to budge in the last half century. And the lack of childcare is really one of the biggest contributors to the gender wage gap. Women's labor force participation remains 7 to 9 percentage points lower than men. And because of the unpaid care responsibilities that many women face, it often means that they have to go for part-time, seasonal, or temporary jobs, which are generally paid less, and they offer less job security. They provide fewer opportunities for advancement and generally like health benefits. So we know that almost 70% of part-time workers and 60% of minimum wage earners are women. So that's really the issue at the heart of the gender wage gap, which makes it so impossible for women to catch up. The second reason why public childcare really makes sense is it's really good for the economy. You know, all major financial institutions like the World Bank, the IMF, the OECD, they're all pointing in the same direction in the sense that for Canada to grow its economy, we really need to increase the female labor force participation rate. And to be able to do that, Canada has to provide affordable and accessible childcare. So the Global Institute released a study last year that showed that closing the gender gap in the economy could add $150 billion in incremental GDP by 2026. So that would be a 0.6% increase in annual GDP. The IMF also conducted a study last year looking at Canada's economic growth potential and basically made the argument that in order to get 150,000 stay-at-home mothers into the workforce, it would cost around $8 billion in childcare subsidies that then would raise the GDP by 2% and really help or would recover the $8 billion investment through taxes and the multiplying effect. So really, it would pay for itself. But the strongest piece of evidence is really the program in Quebec, where they started moving towards a childcare system in 1997, and they have seen the biggest increase of women's labor force participation than any other province in Canada, and it now hovers at 80%, which is higher than most other OECD countries as well. And also, just as the IMF study showed, Quebec has recovered the cost that it put into the childcare system through taxes. So really, that underscores that this is an investment rather than an expense. And that is something that we continuously point out. It's an investment in Canada's economy. And while it seems like a huge ticket item in the budget at first, you will receive the money back. Then the third reason why public childcare makes sense is it's just really good for children. We all know we sleep better when our children are in an environment that nurtures their growth and development. And there have been lots of studies done that show that participation in early childhood education and care programs has positive effects on children's cognitive and language development and their happiness, and also has long-term impacts on their education, employment, and earnings. But what's really key there is quality. And quality, obviously there's a lot of factors that are contributing to quality of childcare, but a huge piece is staff. So including the level of training and experience of early childhood education educators and the quality of leadership and mentorship provided by management and the rate of turnover. And so it's really sad to see that childcare workers in Canada are some of the lowest paid and least valued workers. And so because of that, the staff sector really suffers from a severe retention and recruitment crisis, which makes it very difficult to provide quality care. So a key argument that we continue to make is, first of all, childcare has to be universal in the sense that everyone needs to have access to the same quality of programming. And I want to share a quote from Morna, actually, that I really like. One thing that we all know is that public services for the poor make for poor services, and that really applies to childcare as well. But another point is that it's really important that the public system really comes with a workforce strategy to really develop this sector and invest in early childhood educators to fill up the huge shortage of spots that need to be filled. And then another reason is, of course, it's good for families. We all know that Canada has some of the highest childcare costs among its international peers, and it leaves families struggling to make ends meet. Infant care in the most expensive regions of Canada can come at a median monthly fee of over $1,700, and it's between $1,200 and $1,300 for toddlers and preschoolers. So childcare fees continue to rise faster than inflation, and even in rural areas, fees are not significantly lower than in some of the big cities. Canada is also experiencing another huge issue is the availability of licensed spaces. A study done by CCPA showed that an estimated 750,000 children, so these are children younger than school age, live in childcare deserts in Canada. So these are communities where three children compete for each licensed spot. And so it just makes it very difficult for families to find spots that really work with where they're working and where they're living. And what's also been shown is that when childcare is offered in a purely market-driven way, childcare deserts tend to increase. And so the last point I wanted to get back to again is the childcare workers. Childcare is one of the most feminized job sectors in Canada. 97% of child caregivers are women. And these jobs are undervalued. They result in low retention rates because the pay is so low. There's hardly any opportunities for advancement, even if you've been doing the job for 20 years. The levels of job satisfaction is very low, and so there's a very huge labor shortage. A quarter of childcare workers in centers or home childcare settings actually need a second job to make ends meet. And so, but at the same time, centers are struggling to find and retain qualified staff. So this is, it's really important that this really forms part of the solution addressing the shortage and retention crisis in the sector, and really making sure that this is a sector that provides decent work with living wages, good working conditions, good health benefits, so that we can retain and grow the system. So as you hear, there are a lot of problems around childcare here in Canada, and so that's why it's so important to invest in this sector. And so we clearly need a solution, and so I'm going to turn it over to Mona to talk about that a bit more.
Thanks so much, Deanna, and thanks so much. It's really exciting to be part of the poverty policy series that you've been organizing, and that childcare is the first issue of the series is just all that much more exciting. Childcare Now is very supportive of the Dignity for All campaign. We have said, and many anti-poverty activists and organizations have said, is that if Canada is going to have a poverty reduction strategy, childcare has to be part of it. That strategy has to include a strategy to make early childhood education and childcare more accessible, more affordable, and more inclusive. And Deanna has gone through all the evidence that's been accumulated over many years of research, and also the experience that we've lived in Canada all points to how important it is for governments to make significant investments in this area. So as Deanna said, I just want to sort of the ABCs of childcare. I'm sure everybody on the line probably knows this, but I think it can't be repeated enough. is that the problems we have with respect to childcare, the fact that it is not available in communities, it's not accessible, it's not affordable, it's not inclusive, and that there are groups in society, in the economy, in communities that face particular barriers to getting access to childcare, and those are low-income families, indigenous families, families with the youngest children, families with children under 2 years of age have a tremendous difficulty accessing childcare. Rural communities have a particularly difficult time accessing childcare. It's extremely expensive, as we've heard, and we also are suffering problems of quality, in that the quality of care is quite uneven in Canada, and it needs to be improved. And we're not going to be able to increase and improve the quality of childcare in Canada unless we address the workforce issues. We're also not going to be able to expand the number of childcare spaces for families in Canada unless we address workforce issues. And Deanna, again, talked about some of these workforce issues. The big one is that it's really reached a crisis point with respect to recruiting qualified early childhood educators and retaining them in the sector. And the main reason for that is because of the very low wages and difficult working conditions. But all of these problems really stem from one bigger problem, and that's that childcare in Canada, unlike in many other industrialized countries, has been handed over to the market. So governments in Canada still and depend on the childcare market to provide services to families. Then there really is being very limited intervention by government with respect to the provision of childcare. That's not to say that they're not laws and regulations and rules with respect to childcare, but when it comes to funding childcare, governments have really not put the investments that are required, and they have not taken up responsibility and accepted responsibility to provide childcare as a public service. And they have not been willing to accept that childcare is an important part of early childhood education, and that early childhood education really needs to be considered in the same way that public education is considered for 4 or 5 year olds and older. And that is that it is actually a collective responsibility. The provision is a collective responsibility through government, as is the financing. And that's really why we're in the mess that we're in. So as has been said for many years, have been advocating that this change, that childcare be moved from the market and start to be considered and treated and funded and organized as a public service. So then the question is, well, what specifically or how government's going to go about doing this? How do we move, and what should we be advocating for in trying to move childcare from market to public system? And what specifically do we want the federal government to do? And of course, as you said at the outset, this is an incredibly important issue as we approach a federal election. And it's also an important issue time-wise, because childcare fits in so nicely with other important areas of public policy that need urgent attention, poverty reduction being one, for sure, gender equality being another, and also equitable economic growth. That what we all know we're experiencing is a widening and widening gap between rich and poor in Canada and around the world. And we think that childcare and putting in place a public system of childcare would really help narrow that gap. So putting this forward in this election as an issue, hand in hand with all those other issues, is important and timely and urgent. So one of the challenges we have when we advance policy change with respect to childcare is that it's one of those many areas that fall in provincial jurisdiction and territorial jurisdiction under our constitution. And so the question always arises, well, what can we be asking of the federal government? So even though the problems that we're facing in childcare exist in every province, in every territory, across the country, and even though the problems of childcare impact all economic groupings, although particularly, you know, low-income families are definitely more adversely affected, but it seems that no matter what your economic status, it's hard to get and it's expensive, and problems of quality are problems that all families have to contend with regardless of their economic status. Question, even though this is in many ways a kind of issue that a federal government needs to be concerned about, what can it constitutionally do? And what can we get the federal government to do? So what we've developed, Childcare Now in coalition with Oxfam Canada, anti-poverty groups, and many others, is developed a roadmap for how a federal government can do to assist taking Canada from where we are now to affordable childcare for all. Now, first of all, our plan, which you can get and download from our website, timeforchildcare.ca, or also it's also available from the campaign website, childcareforall.ca. What this plan says, first of all, is that going from where we are now to a universal, publicly funded and publicly managed system, we expect will take about 10 years. So what we've put together is a plan. And what we want the federal government to do in this federal plan that we've developed is, first of all, accept that it has a leadership role to play and that it needs to work hand in hand with other jurisdictions, the provincial jurisdictions, territorial, obviously, but it also has to engage community, it has to engage parents, and it has to engage all kinds of other groups that are concerned about social justice and economic inequality. So we want the federal government to take leadership. We want the federal government to move forward in bringing about childcare in a democratic way and in a consultative way, which so far we haven't seen the federal government do. So we're really calling for sort of more democratic and open policy development with respect to childcare. What the federal government to do is take action on three fronts simultaneously. We want the federal government to work with the provinces and territories to make childcare more affordable at the same time that it makes it more accessible by expanding the availability of licensed childcare, at the same time that it takes steps, again, working with other levels of government, to improve the quality of childcare services. And the main focus should be on addressing the very pressing workforce problems. That means strategies to increase wages and working conditions, strategies to make sure that the childcare workforce, that we have a trained and qualified childcare workforce or early childhood educators who are trained and able to work in programs, both home-based programs and center-based programs. And also another important part of the workforce strategy will be to make sure that there is good access to training programs through the post-secondary system, preferably degree-level programs. We want to try to up the qualifications of most early childhood educators, and we also want to make sure that there's a strategy in place to fund and provide ongoing professional development of early childhood educators. So what we want is action on all three fronts simultaneously. And I keep stressing simultaneously because what governments have tended to do is approach the crisis, the childcare crisis, in a piecemeal way. So they talk about, well, there's a problem of access, so we're going to increase the number of spaces, and they've made commitments to increase, you know, and some provinces have promised to increase the number of spaces by 10,000, other by 100,000, depending over the period of time. But there's been a lot of emphasis on just increasing the quantity of childcare available. But of course, you can't actually increase the quantity of childcare. You can't have more childcare unless you have more early childhood educators ready and trained to work in those childcare centers. And you're not going to be able to do that unless you address the working conditions. You also are not going to be able to increase the working conditions and the quality of programs unless you also have some strategies to address the problem of affordability. Because if you increase wages and working conditions and you put in place all kinds of measures to increase quality, that's going to increase the price of childcare for families, or it's going to create a situation where only the very wealthy are going to be able to afford the higher quality childcare. So this is why we say the governments have to take action on those three fronts simultaneously. And what we want specifically to ask of the federal parties through the election period is, will they make a commitment to taking action on all these three fronts simultaneously? Will they make a commitment to working with provinces and territories by renegotiating the bilateral agreements in place which govern the spending, the federal government's transfers to the provinces and territories for childcare, which, by the way, were three-year agreements and so need to be renegotiated. The negotiations for the new bilateral agreements have to start in October of 2019, so very soon after the election. What we want them to get a commitment from each of the federal parties is that if they become the next federal government, will they agree to negotiate bilateral agreements that will move forward or make headway in each of these three areas that we've identified? So will they reach agreements with the provinces and the territories on issues of access, issues of affordability, and issues of quality, all three fronts simultaneously? We are also, of course, saying that to be able to actually move this forward and for the federal government to have any credibility or any bargaining power with the provinces and the territories to actually put together a comprehensive pan-Canadian strategy to address the childcare crisis, there needs to be more money. So what we're asking for is a much bigger financial commitment on part of the federal government. Right now, as Deanna was saying, the Liberal government is $7.5 billion over 11 years, so that by the 11th year, Canada would be spending by the 11th year under the Liberal plan, the federal government will be spending under $1 billion a year. What we're asking for is that the federal government in the first budget after the next election allocate $1 billion more in that year for that fiscal year, and for every subsequent fiscal year, another $1 billion gets added. The reason, of course, that's important is that when you spend $1 billion to improve the quality and improve access by creating more spaces and by use some of that money to reduce the cost of childcare, we want the next year to do the same and more. So that's why we need more money, $1 billion in the first year, $2 billion in the second year, $3 billion in the 3 year, because that's the only way we're going to actually be able to grow the public system to the size that we need it to be able to actually make childcare affordable and accessible for all. So in very short, that's our plan. And that's what we are advocating for. That's what we've been asking the federal parties to commit to. And the first sort of sign of our plan being taken up officially, the NDP announced, I think, yesterday, action that they're proposing in a number of areas. Childcare is one of the areas that they're proposing to take action in, and they have committed to a spending of $1 billion in the first year, although they've not made a specific commitment to adding another billion every year thereafter. So there's obviously work to be done with the NDP on this, and we're still working hard to shape the political party the election platforms of the other political parties. So that's where we're at, and that's the program, and I hope I haven't taken too long.
Great. That's so excellent. Thank you so much, Deanna and Morna. That's a lot of great information. I'm just looking at the time and seeing we are actually a little bit over, but I'll pass it on to Darlene. Maybe, Darlene, we could see if there's any questions that have been raised in the question bar that we can get through in 2 minutes.
Well, I think for 2 minutes left, we can probably speak to Nairn's comments on the fact that any childcare policy should be taking into account adequate input for workers in the underground economy. So workers who are already providing childcare support, who are often quite underpaid women, who may be already on social assistance supplementing their income through providing childcare and may not have a lot of other options in terms of employment or income support. So I don't know if either of you would like to speak to that comment.
Sure, I'll just go off. I'm just getting off mute. I'm sorry. Yeah, I think that that's a really valid and important concern. And the fact of the matter is we have enough regulated childcare in Canada for only under 30% of children under the age of 5. So that means that, in fact, and we know, of course, that many, many other young children under the age of 5 are being cared for in the unregulated childcare sector, in informal arrangements. Some by childcare providers who I think the term in the Q&A, I think was the underground, was it referred to as the underground economy. And what I would say to that is what we would like is for the regulated sector to be expanded so that no care and be expanded, properly funded, and that those providing childcare services through that sector be properly compensated so that nobody who's looking after children ends up being in an exploitative situation, caregiver. So we're going to have part of our, and that's one of the reasons we're talking about a 10-year plan, is that it's going to take a while to move people from the unregulated sector where there is exploitation of caregivers into a regulated sector where they will get proper remuneration and recognition for the work that they do. So part of what we're calling for is the development of a workforce strategy that would find solutions to this problem, or find how do you actually expand the regulated workforce so that it is more inclusive and it is done in a way so that exploitation of caregivers is ended. We've put an end to these kinds of exploitative arrangements.
Thanks so much, Morna. That's a really great answer. Thank you for that. I think I'm going to wrap us up there. And thank you both so incredibly much for joining us. Thank you also to all the folks who have been listening. I'll note that, as we said earlier, this has been part one in a 6-part poverty policy series. And next up on next Wednesday at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, we will be talking about health. And in particular, the need for a national PharmaCare program with Melanie Bernard from the Canadian Health Coalition. So we do hope that you will join us in that session. You can find the hyperlink at www.dignityforall.ca/webinars. Thank you so much, everyone, again, for joining, and we will see you next week.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.